Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Danny, who is here to speak with us about his participation in the Team 150K for Africa adventure. Welcome, Danny.
Thanks, Jen. Hi. I'm delighted to be here.
Good. So you are probably going to start here anyway, but I just love the story of what happened when you got the initial email about the idea, the project.
Yeah, I can start there. There's lots of backstory which I'll get to, but that is
okay,
a remarkable part of the story. No, when I got the first email about the Team 150K, I skimmed it and deleted it.
And the reason I love that, Danny, is that it's just who can't relate, right? Who can't relate to that process of like, got it, okay, yeah, not going to do that, delete, good, on to the next thing.
Yeah, the voices were coming in loud and clear, and I was identifying with them. Yeah, this wasn't the kind of thing that I can do.
Yeah. And so what happened next, or what happened before that, whichever comes next?
Well, you know, I mean, it's kind of, when I look at it, I mean, it's kind of remarkable because I've been participating in the bridge walk since the early days, and I have a monthly donation going to the Africa Project, and for the last few years I've been stewarding the weekly news from Africa on the website, and so, you know, I have the work of the Africa Project means a lot to me, and it's important to me to support it. And there's a way that conditioning has prevented me from sharing my excitement and commitment to the project with people I know. Every year with the when the bridge walk comes, I just write a check because I've bought the story for a long time that people I know either aren't interested, can't relate, have their own priorities, and that I don't want to put them on the spot and make them uncomfortable and ask them for money. And so, you know, all that was going on when I read that. The invitation to participate in G150K, and that was just another part of, well, I'm not asking people for money, so there's, you know, so delete.
Okay, I see what this is. So, yeah, it's so perfect, because so all of that kind of goes under the radar screen for as long as it goes under the radar screen. It could be a really long time, years and years. But then something like this comes up, and then it hits that identity of, oh, that's that. Oh, I don't do that. So then you hit delete.
Yeah. And, you know, so it's been really interesting to, I mean, it wasn't that I wasn't aware of that, but just seeing how conditioning had carved out an exception for itself. You know, well, I can support the project, but I can't ask other people to do that. And so what happened was, you know, I don't remember if it was a second email or I saw it on the website or something. It's like, well, wait a second, I want to participate in this.
Yeah.
And so with that, you know, with that strong awareness that I really wanted to participate, I was able to open some space to see, well, how can I do this? And almost immediately, what I saw was that I'm having a big birthday in mid-October, and I'm having a birthday party for the first time in many years, and I could invite people to not give me gifts, but instead to donate to the project. And that is actually what I have done.
Wow. Wow. So just that moment, Danny, I love that description of, so you see it again. But really, it's not even again, in a way. From what you described, the image that drops in is like, someone opened my mail. Who opened my mail? Right? I threw it away. And then now it's like I'm going through the trash for some reason. And I think, what's the visitation that I never got? I want to do that. Right?
Yeah.
And who threw it away? Who got rid of it? Who answered that for me? I just love that moment of awareness. It's so beautiful. And then realizing, I do want to do it. And with that, you haven't ever done something like that before, you know, for a variety of reasons. But just that willingness to go, okay, well, let me see. Let me see what drops in. And then you realize, wait, I'm having this big birthday. I'm actually having a party for the first time in a long time. I'll pair the two things. I'll invite people to the party and invite them to donate.
Yeah. It's been, and seeing conditioning try to interfere with that, and seeing it try to set up expectations and fears, and I sent out the invitations, and it had at the end, instead of giving me a gift, I invite you to join me in supporting the Africa Vulnerable Children's Project. I go on to describe it just a little and my involvement in it, and then told people how they can, if they can let me know with their RSVP that they'd like to support it. And, within 5 minutes of sending out the first batch of invitations, I got a pledge. And the one pledge was like way more than I imagined anybody would give. So, it's just been really fun. It's just been really fun to see, all of that crapola revealed for what it is.
Yes. Oh, exactly so. So not only do I get the heart-opening experience of participating in this transformational project, but I get the whole workshop of going up against all of that stuff that, as you say, it's not that you weren't completely, you weren't completely unaware of it. You knew it was kind of there. But there's how many things are there like that where, we kind of know it's back there, but we're not seeing the magnitude of the control that it has over our lives, and so we decide to do it. We take that jump, and we get to see all of that. We get to have that workshop and have all of those beliefs that keep us small, that keep us, whatever it is, afraid, that keep us, we get to see through those and actually experience life's generosity and beauty and kindness and all those amazing things.
Yeah, and what I'm saying as you say that, about the magnitude, it can seem like that's a little thing, but how we do anything is how we do everything, and that's just one example of how we let conditioning control our lives.
Yes, exactly so. Yep.
Like, where else am I doing that? Yeah.
Right, exactly. Where else am I doing that? And, as you say that, Danny, I just flash back to we had the third video call with Cantalomba this last Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and we have our last one coming up this Saturday. And Sherry was talking with a number of the folks during that video call, and I just flashed on how it's exactly, we always say this, but it always strikes me, that process that we're doing of going up against all those forces that would keep our lives small and sort of contained and who I think I am and all those things, and the courage to go up against that, it's exactly the same thing we're seeing in Cantalomba. We're hearing the stories of these folks who are doing things that no one in as many generations as they can remember in their family have ever done, have ever had the opportunity to do. So it's just such I love that parallel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They certainly are inspiring,
Yeah, exactly so. Well, we are coming to the end of our time. Was there anything else you wanted to add in about it?
I understand that it's not too late to participate, and that Team All In is recruiting members. So if anybody hasn't gotten the wherewithal or gotten around to participating in the 150K project, it's not too late.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that, because it just feels like, so yes, Team All In is one of the teams who has opened their doors and said, anyone can be on our team. So if you're not ready to start your own team and pledge $500 or more, you can opt in to Team All In, and that gives you access to, we're doing 2 weekly support calls with the entire team, and we're also, as we just talked about, we have another video call, live video call, this coming Saturday with the team in Cantalumba, and wow, are those just so much fun and very, very moving. So, yeah, and, you know, the thing is, Danny, we were really sort of coming to the last, whatever it is, third of the time. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is so much fun and so inspiring that we can't possibly not have the entire Sangha be in on it. So, yes, I hope you will jump in and join us, because it's really a great deal of fun.
Yeah, it really is. Really is. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, thank you, Danny. Thanks for being on this afternoon with us.
My pleasure.
Take care. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Gosho. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
All righty. Thank you, Jen. That was a wonderful conversation. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. That was fun.
A great conversation with Danny and Jen, wasn't it?
It was. I just always love it when we have a chance to see, ooh, that was a bamboozle. Son of a gun.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have seen that was a bamboozle. And so when people like Danny come forward and talk about that sort of thing, then we can all go, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to watch out
for this. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I just saw, as you said that, to me, one of the real secrets is no self-hate. I got bamboozled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's what I want to do. And so there's no time wasted in the beatings and being beaten and that whole conditioned waste of time. It's just, okay, I'm doing this.
Okay, got it. All right. New direction. Thank you. Saw that.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
Great. And I loved your conversation with Josephine last Saturday.
It isn't that something? You know, it's so fun for me to get to, because, you know, there are people, of course, who were around at the very beginning and, you know, knew Josephine from the time she was practically a child until she is now. But so many people who joined us who have no idea that young person in those god-awful circumstances was such an instrumental, important piece of the
integral,
whole puzzle.
Yeah.
Integral, yeah. If she hadn't had the courage to approach this bunch of strange people and make that statement, I hope you'll help me have a better life for my children. It was life-changing for her, for us, for so many people. And you know, Michael, just to make that connection back with what Danny was saying, it's the same exact process, right? Every time we step up, instead of letting, because, you know, that was, talk about intimidating. And Josephine could have said, oh, well, you know, and she would have just slowly died and her other children would have died and then all these other beautiful children wouldn't have been born. But she didn't do that. She didn't. She said some things are more important than fear and everything. And so she stepped into that. In much the same way that Danny said, no, I want to step up. And all of us are encouraging one another to do that in all sorts of ways every day.
Yes, it's really inspiring. It's really inspiring. And with technology today, you know, to see her live and to hear you speak with her, it's powerful.
Yeah, it's so fun. See our little kids growing up. It's astounding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just want to tell one more Josephine story in case anybody isn't going to join us on Saturday and have the experience for themselves. One of my favorite people in the world is her daughter, Marion, who I identified as one of the funniest people. I mean, to be funny in a foreign language when you basically have no shared language is no small trick. And, of course, Marion was born before Josephine came to Living Compassion. And truly, her being alive at this point is just a flat-out miracle. None of us thought that she would make it. And there she was. I would have never recognized her. She looked so strong and healthy and just wonderfully, a young person the age that she is. And so for everybody who's participated in this project in any way, you know, to look at those faces and just please try to take in what you've done, what you're a part of.
Hmm. So Marion was really sick, I take it, from what you're saying.
Yes, she was born HIV positive.
I see.
Yeah. And of course, Josephine is HIV positive. And it's only through the nutrition that's provided by Living Compassion that they need in order to stay alive, because that's how so many people in that part of the world, the drugs are there, Jen could help us out on this, but I think it's true that they're free in Zambia. But if you're starving, the drugs will kill you.
Yes.
So it's just, you know, there's so many layers of this that it's really hard to take it all in. At least for me it is. And, you know, I've kind of been there since the very beginning. And still it just seems incomprehensible to me. Their lives, first of all, and then the kinds of changes that have happened for them and that continue to happen for them. It's just one of the most beautiful things ever to me.
I'm right with you. Right with you. And I have announcements here.
All right.
Okay. Join you, Sherry, this Sunday, October 1st, at Center in the San Francisco Bay Area for a workshop exploring how to deal with the crests and troughs of your practice.
Michael, I saw that the newsletter came out, I guess it was today, and I think that in case anybody wants to know what, that's what my latest newsletter article is about, because it's my latest obsession.
Oh, great. Great. Mm-hmm. Also, Sunday is the deadline to register for the next quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies. This program is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm. Such good training. Such good practice.
Yes, it is. Sangha will gather on Saturday, October 14th in San Francisco for the 16th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk to benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children Project. You don't want to miss this exciting and joy-filled community experience. And find out more about the Team 150K Challenge to support the Africa Project on the project's webpage at livingcompassion.org.
So, Michael, I just got some distressing information texted into me, and that is that there are only 63 people signed up to attend the Bridge Walk this year.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. I mean, we have way more T-shirts that have been purchased, but only 63 people coming to join us on that day, which I personally find extremely distressing. And so I don't know if people just haven't said yet, or, you know, like me, they tend to be a little late getting around to things, but gosh, I hope people will come out and support us and the project and one another and like that.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's only
it's actually not a been there, done that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's only 2.5 weeks away. I see.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Recording and listening is not just for grown-ups. Youngsters have reported feeling happier, calmer, kinder, and more relaxed using this fabulous practice tool. A fun and transformative parent-child recording and listening class is starting October 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate 2017 and start the next year with Sangha at the New Year's Retreat, December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California. The retreat features meditation, discussions, yoga, guidance with you, Sherry, and free time to spend in nature on beautiful, spacious grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show and get in the queue by pressing *6 and then 1. And a 5-minute conversation on one topic is really helpful. Okay, Sherry, you ready?
Here we go.
Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, hello. This is Richard in New York.
Hello, Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Twice.
I get to talk to you twice in 1 week.
I know. It's uncanny. It's just wonderful. And I guess I want to just comment that I have managed to maintain that, overcoming any of the fears about being in the queue. And
very good.
For a couple of days here. And I hope to keep that up.
Good. Yes.
So I've been really enjoying the Project Joy assignments. And,
me too.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't have anything in particular to talk about. I haven't anything rehearsed.
Just that you're enjoying practice.
That's the key thing. I'm enjoying practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish I could get out there to that bridge walk, and I even went, but I'm in New York City, and it won't be this year, and I got all excited for a moment there about, can I possibly do the New Year's retreat? And then I realized, that that was a bit much, too. So I will be seeing you in the spring, and for one of the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreats, which I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, lovely. Oh, very good, very good. All right,
yeah.
So I want to comment, Richard, on what the first part of our conversation, and that is that you're enjoying practice, because that's the whole secret to the whole deal for all of us, right? I often kid people that when egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate puts something on the should list, then it's headed for the door, right? That is something that is in your past. But when things are on the want-to list, which tend to be things that we enjoy, or we're committed to, or we see benefit from, you know, I want to, then that's something that is moving toward a degree of permanence. So that's very good. I'm glad you're enjoying practice.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh.
I will comment on when we spoke on Project Joy, and I mentioned something and you you beg to differ, but you use the French term au, you know, very
contraire.
Au contraire. When I was saying, well, I guess thinking can be useful for a poem or music, and you said au contraire, and explained the fact that, you know, that's not true. It drops in. It drops in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I had a rehearsal right after that, and it was like so good and useful and a good reminder. So I don't
And Richard, were you able to see that? Did you experience it in that rehearsal?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Very good, huh?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, good.
All right. Well, talk to you later. Bye. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon, Richard. Okay.
Gotcha.
Thanks for joining us, Richard. Sherry, I love that when you point to an experience and then I have that experience. It's great.
Yes.
It's fun.
Yes. You know, so much of practice is that way, isn't it? It is absolutely our experience. We just never thought about it that way. We never saw it that way. And it's not an accident. Nobody ever pointed it out to us. So, you know, when we're growing up, so many of the experiences that now we can go, I could see that. But there was nobody around to say, and now this is how this works, and keep your eyes open because what you'll see is blah, blah, blah. That doesn't tend to be a part of socialization.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Anna from San Carlos.
San Carlos. Hello, Anna.
Hello.
I wondered where you had made your way to. Now I know, San Carlos.
Yeah, San Carlos.
Right.
That's where I lived out. This is so exciting. I thought I might get on. I was thinking, well, I'm going to center, so I'm not putting myself in the queue. And then I was like, you know what? I put myself in the queue because that's my practice. And so I put myself in the queue. And
it's not like it's too much, right? You can talk to us on open air, and you can come to center. It's fine.
Yeah,
we can't practice too much.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think it's such a great example of how it works, though. You know, it's like one of the bamboozles that I fall for is that, you know, not being, like, over-eager or something like that. Like, oh, well, you don't want to because then you'll seem like – and it reminded me of I think the first bridge walk. I was, like, very first starting at the old Mountain View Zen Center, and I heard about the bridge walk, and I was like, that sounds so fun. But I got talked out of going because it was like, oh, you're brand new, you don't know anyone, that kind of thing. And I just am so grateful for practice because that's the kind of thing that ego uses to try to keep me small and all kinds of things. And it's just the same thing that happened today, you know, where it was like, oh, you're going to sit there, you're going to take up too much space, that kind of thing. And so it was just really fun to see it and then to be like, you know what, I'm putting myself in the queue.
No. I'm here. I'm going to take up an Anna-sized space in the world. Thank you very much. That's what I was given, and I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like the belief is like that there's some kind of like something wrong with being too enthusiastic, or you know that kind of thing. And and it's like, you know what? No, if I get you know, if I'm whatever. I don't even know what that means, too enthusiastic. But yeah, I want to be enthusiastic about life because that's
fun. You don't want to seem unsophisticated.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you got to be cool. And looking like you're enthusiastic and excited about stuff, that's really uncool and good. Because, you know, waking up and ending suffering clearly is an uncool activity. And that's okay with me. How about you?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of crazy, but it's totally deep of this, like, sense of just, you know, not wanting to look like I'm trying too hard or anything like that, because the whole setup is like the belief that I might fail and who knows what would happen then, or I might, you know, look a certain way that I'm not supposed to look. And anyway, I'm so glad that I've practiced to be able to see, like, that's just bogus. Like, horse pucky. I don't want to live my life in that place.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm right with you.
And with the bridge walk thing, you know, I signed up to be part of the, you know, 150K thing. And I talked about it on one of the support calls, but I, you know, had this thing around asking people for donations. Like, I've never done it before. And at least not, like, to a large number of people. And this time I decided I wanted to do it because I have never done it before. And I did it. And it was, you know, it's just been so amazing, the response, you know?
Uh-huh. Can you say a little more to encourage those folks who aren't having
So I was like, oh, you know, don't ask for donation, blah, 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 whole thing going on. And then this was the thing, and I was like, okay, this means I'm going to do it. And I'm going to sign up because that's what I'm going to do because it's a practice thing, and I want to sign up because I sign up for the practice things. And so I signed up for it, and I was looking at what to do, and again, there was all this resistance to asking for donations, so I was like, I'm asking for donations, asking people for money, just straight up asking them. And I set like I want to ask people for, you know, I want as many people as possible to donate, and I'm going to set like a cap, like only $20 for our fundraiser, and if you want to donate more, go to the website. And because that way, you know, we get like lots of people, and or we need to get lots of people. And, you know, like my mom couldn't just like write a check for $500 and then I'd be like, okay, I'm done. Cause that's not I wanted to really go for participation and also the practice of asking people for donations for something that I really care about. And, and I got my brother and my husband on my team. And what was really fun was just to see the two of them start in on it too, which was motivating for me to do it. And then literally in 1 week, it was done.
Wow.
Actually, more like 4 days. It was like 4 days. I sent out an email. It was like maximum $20. And, you know, one person just didn't listen to us and gave us more than that, which it was interesting to see my reaction to that was like, I just got a large donation, like, but it wasn't $20, you know, just to try to stay, you know, just to stay in gratitude over it. And it was just really fun. And all the emails that people sent, like, oh, thank you for sending me. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for telling me about this. And, and just the excitement to be like, you know, yeah, like, and having conversation with these people, with people in my life, lots of people in my life who know nothing about practice, know nothing about the Africa Project, don't even know that I'm involved with it. You know, not like my best friends, but like friends of mine that I spend regular time with, and to be able to talk to them about it in conversation is just like a really fun thing.
Yeah. Yeah. People want to do good, don't they? Doing
they do.
Good feels good. Yeah.
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 And it's
and
like a fun different
so
thing.
Much,
yeah.
There's so much not fun in the world that people can talk about. And, and people tend to talk about that, right?
Yeah.
So when you have a chance to talk about something fun and good with somebody that you care about, that's really fun and good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is really fun and good. And it's, you know, it's, you know, it's just every time, you know, someone I care about, you know, invites me to participate in something, I'm always like, wow, you know, I didn't know about that. Thanks. Or I didn't know that that you were involved in that. And, you know, and you feel like you learned something about them. And it's fun to put that out there. Like, yeah, here's something I care about. Again, it totally is related to that same process of, like, you know, staying small, you know, the ways you
keep
you small.
Yeah. And so to make that connection, I care about you and I care about this. These are two important things in my life. I'm putting those important things together.
Yeah.
You know, and people like that. That you like it. I like it. And we can we can guess that we're not alone in that.
Yeah, and it feels good to be like, I care about this. You know, you know, regardless of the response to it, it feels, you know, I have this I don't know, I think at some point I heard this story of, I don't know, I think it was you just, you know, it doesn't matter how many people are here sitting for meditation, I'm going to show up and hit the bell because that's my practice. And and it feels like that's the kind of place, I'm training to come from in life of just like, you know what, I care about this. I'm here. You know, if you want to come too, great. If you don't, that's okay because this is my practice. And and I'm happy to be participating in it and transcending the barriers that ego sets up for me.
Yeah. That's great. It's great. There's such freedom in it, isn't there?
There is. There really is. And it's like, who would think like asking for a donation is like my journey to freedom? But it like, it is. It totally is.
yes, it is.
Because if it wasn't, I would have done it a long time ago. You know, like.
Oh, that's a really, really good point. If it had been bad for you and kind of useless and keeping you stuck in ego, you'd have been all over this with that first bridge walk, right?
Yeah.
But it's part of your path to freedom, and so ego's been fighting it. It fought it for as long as it could. And, and you just keep going up against it and making different choices and different choices and different choices, and now here you are.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like, I guess what I'm practicing being is like being enthusiastic with like no, I don't, you know, I don't know, it's like a no abandon, you know, just like really, I love this, I love life, I love, you know, if that's what it is that life is calling me to say, you know.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Your enthusiasm is contagious. Love
That's
it.
That's wonderful.
See you in a little while.
Yeah, I'll see you in a little while. I'm looking forward to it. All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks, Anna. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. As Sherry, I heard the enthusiasm, too. I was projecting a lot of lit-up energy from Anna on this project.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, we're all kind of born again about practice, I guess, but I often find myself wishing that everybody could have the experience that Danny started us off talking about, and that Anna's pointing at, and Richard, and you know that that this is just a fun way to live. You know, it's just it's joyful. I wish people could recognize what's stopping them is not joyful. And then take that step into, yes is just a happy way to live.
Yes is just a happy way to live. Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Rather than the picture that conditioning paints of a long slog through all of my conditioned karma to get to the other side. And actually, as you've said many times, it's not that. That's why conditioning paints it that way, because it's not that. It's joyful.
Exactly.
And it's fast.
And it's fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sherry, we are going to hear from our coaching program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
Having emptied our teacups in 2016, we are now embodying joy in 2017. Joy is our experience of presence. Zen Awareness Coaching is a great way to support ourselves as we embark on projecting joy. Through weekly calls, email check-ins, and focused practice commitments, we are assisted to see how we are caused to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. Zen Awareness Coaches are trained and guided by Sherry Huber. They offer coaching as a way to deepen their own practice and support the monastery. We recommend coaching for people who have attended retreats with us, have some grounding in the principles and language of this practice, and are interested in deepening their awareness practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, email zenawarenesscoaches@livingcompassion.org. Make 2017 a year of great love and joy.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Heather from Portland.
Hello, Heather.
Hi, Heather.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing pretty good. I'm walking in the park right now. I'm so happy to get on the show today.
Good.
Yeah, so
it must not be raining.
Yeah, I know. It's beautiful here. I'm so glad I got myself to the park today. It was quite a feat. So, and on the show, for that matter. So, kind of what I'm looking at is, of course, my dad is ill. And going to the retreat has been so helpful and instrumental in just kind of helping me cope with that process. But something that I've been working on in my life for several years is kind of the karma around conditioning. I mean, sorry, the karma around relationships and kind of how I just completely abandoned myself in relationships. And it's been an interesting process because since my dad got ill, at the very same time I started dating someone, and it was like conditioning was torturing me so bad with my dad's illness that I didn't have time to worry about how I was showing up in the relationship. I was just able to be me 100% because I was able to see that it couldn't matter. So it's been this really kind of cool byproduct. But now since being back from the retreat and kind of getting a handle on how I'm coping with what's going on with my father, conditioning is just like torturing me. And it's like I've regressed like 5 years. I'm right back to where I was 5 years ago. And I'm just like not sure what to do with it. It's making me so mad.
So regressed 5 years. So this is how you handled relationship 5 years ago.
I mean, just, yes, like, completely abandon myself, can't, like, express myself, can't be vulnerable, can't let someone know authentically how I feel for fear of rejection, and all of a sudden that is coming back tenfold, and yet the past 3 months that I've been dating this person, I've been really authentic and open, about what I'm looking for and what I desire, and he's been completely on board with that. But in the past kind of 5 days, I've been so tortured by kind of all of those old patterns and thought processes and knowing it's conditioning, but just it still has a hold on me.
Okay. Now, Heather, here is the obvious question at this juncture. Okay. It sounds like this guy is pretty much grown up and able to take care of himself. Yeah?
Completely. Yeah, completely.
Yeah. And so why should you not tell him what's going on with you?
It's like I feel like he's going to think I'm weak and vulnerable and like...
Okay, now all through the previous 3 months, you were letting him know exactly who you were and how you were and what was going on with you. True?
Yes. Yeah.
And it's not like you were a rock of whatever. You know where I'm going with that, right?
Yes. Yeah. Right. I mean, I cried.
You were completely vulnerable. Exactly. So my point that I bet you're catching on to is that the only thing that has changed is that you're now listening to that condition.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's no
yeah.
way that you could be now that is any different, better, or worse than the way you were for those first 3 months. And he was fine.
I guess the thing that's different about it is that, like, the feelings weren't there in the beginning, and now it's like I'm scared of my own feelings. Like, I was able to be upfront and honest about what I'm looking for when there wasn't really feelings involved. If that makes sense.
You mean feelings about the relationship?
Yeah, totally. Like, hey, like all of a sudden I'm realizing, wow, I really like this person. And I'm just getting like beat over the head. Like,
okay, then this is here we are. This is hardcore awareness practice, okay? If you're ever going to have any freedom, you've got to say to yourself, okay, I really like this guy. He's a really great guy. And if I lose him over being who I am, better to find out now than later.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I just, it's like I've never gotten to this point before. It's like I've been working so hard for years on kind of being who I am. And, like, never feeling like that was good enough. And all of a sudden, this person really likes me, and I'm freaking out about it. Like,
yep. Now we're kind of getting to what's actually going on, aren't we?
Yeah,
so there's always been something wrong with you. And that's why relationships don't work, right? And now this guy, he's come along, this really great guy has come along, and he really likes you. Well, how are you going to get rid of him? Because if you don't get rid of him, that karma is not going to be able to stay in place, which is the whole point.
Yeah. I want to, like, yes, and I'm, like, so, like, amped to, you know, to see through this. But it's the sensations are... I mean, they're terrifying, but I know I can see the story. I can see that it's just conditioning.
Oh, yeah.
In the past, I couldn't see that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, this may not work out. This relationship may not work out.
Totally.
But what will work out is your relationship with Heather.
Right.
If you choose her. And if you choose him, then you're going to do everything you can to be the most authentic version of you that's possible to have, so he knows what the heck he's signing on for.
Yeah. That's the part that's
so
terrifying.
Just as you would want from him. Don't you think he has some of this stuff going on?
I mean, yeah, I guess so. It certainly, conditioning wouldn't have me believing that, but...
Of course he does.
Yeah.
No, nobody likes rejection. Nobody likes to be hurt. Everybody has some degree of insecurity and anxiety, whether they act like it or not. We're human.
Right.
Yeah. So this is good, Heather. This is here's the crossroads, right? You get to choose her. If he's worthy of you, we could put it that way. Then he wants to choose you, then that's great. Then the only missing piece will be making sure you're worthy of him, which I think is a lovely sort of a definition of a relationship.
Yeah, thank you.
You can do this.
I know I can. I totally can. I want to, and I mean, the outcome, I know that's not even the point. Like, I want to choose me because this feels so big. So, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. Now, keep us posted, okay, because we're all going to want to know how this goes, all right?
Okay, sounds good, Sherry. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Heather. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Heather. A lot of courage out there, Sherry.
Yep. And you know what's so fun about it is what we hear from every person who calls in is, we don't say it this way, but here's the spiritual opportunity that's in front of me right now.
Yep.
Right? And that's what we're all coming up against, that's what we're all facing, that's what we're talking about, that's what we're giving and getting support for. is, okay, I've worked really hard. Heather just said it. You know, I've worked really hard, and this is where I am, right? So, you know, life in its infinite compassion and wisdom, you know, you want to work out your relationship issues. Well, where are you going to work them out if not in a relationship with somebody that you really like and suspect is the one, and now you've got to, oh, no, right? And, yeah, that's how we're blessed.
Yes, what I heard in what you said is really being given the opportunity to move beyond this karma.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. And to embrace the human being in unconditional love. And again, if we looked at it that way, every step of our lives, that's where we are. Here's this thing. Will you choose to embrace the human being in unconditional love under these circumstances? Yes or no? Yes, you move directly on to the next opportunity. No, we can't. And again, Heather kind of indicated this in a way that we could all relate to. You sort of cycle around there with the same content, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, relationship. All right, you bailed out on that. Okay, well, here's another chance. Oop, bailed out on that. It bailed out on yourself on that one. Okay, well, here's another chance, right?
Yep.
And we just keep coming up against these situations until it's, yes, I choose unconditional love for this human being. I don't care about the consequences. It doesn't matter what happens.
Wow. Yeah, it's big.
Ew, it's just enormous.
Yes. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Susan in L.A. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm
is this the end of the show? Michael,
yeah,
Susan,
course.
Is it the end of the show? Yeah.
What is that, last up to bat?
Usually, huh? And then I remember one time you came on first, it's like, oh, what, is the show over? Did I miss it?
Are we in another time zone?
Right,
oh,
exactly.
That was silly.
So what are you looking at?
What I'm looking at, well, first I was going to say, you know, just walking around listening to the show brings me to center, so whatever I had on my mind kind of fades in the meantime because I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've been practicing with, and I don't know if it's a question, it's certainly not an answer, but I've been, every morning I meditate with a mentor around, instead of my usual questions to myself in the morning are, what do you need to do, when do you need to do it, how well, to what, you know, kind of a going, doing kind of thing. So instead I made a tape that my questions were going to be sort of what now life, looking to life's guidance, and then to just pay attention to the unfolding. So in my little unsuspecting mind, I thought when I turn to life and say what now life would go, oh, plan this with a friend, do this, do that, do this, go, you know, like all up, excited, going,
go to the
doing,
beach.
Extroverted. Yeah,
enough. Have a latte.
Exactly. And life is like, no, I think sweep the kitchen. I'm like, what?
That's not a good answer.
Yeah, it's been much more internal and quiet and still and alone but not lonely, though but kind of a scarier, quieter, different place in my picture of happiness practice. As you say, you know, it isn't a happiness practice, it's an awareness practice. Well, I was thinking what now life would lead to a happiness practice, and that's not been it.
Although it's not over yet, is it?
No. I actually think what's happening is it's sort of like removing the obstacles between me and my version of happiness. There's more around
me. Yes, exactly so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, like whatever all those things I did, I thought make me happy. This is the opposite of them. So,
Yes. So this is where I like to do the one about when you fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter. You know, you have a flat tire 5 miles out in the country and no cell phone service, and you have to walk, and it doesn't matter because you're in love. You're happy with anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move away from life, away from life, away from life until only these things make me happy. If this is what I need. And so we're kind of getting back to the basics, right? We're getting back to love, where the only thing that matters is being in love. And then we're happy with everything.
Oh, I'm glad these calls are recorded. Because when you were talking, I got it, and then it's like gone in a flash. You know, like I'll have to listen to it again because it's kind of a knowing, not a... it's not putting two and two together. It's something really different. Yeah, I realize that I have some pretty strong boxes around what should make me happy, what will make me happy, and the answers to my questions in the morning are not in those boxes.
Yeah.
You know,
It simply put, we're moving from the conditional, which is that whole doing, going, thing is about.
Right.
It's conditional. Mm-hmm. Well, you need to do this because of that, and if that happens, then that'll be, but if it's not, then that's not gonna, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and we're moving into the unconditional where they're simply being with whatever is right now. And the piece that you put your finger on that's so important for all of us is, if we don't have something going in conditioned mind, a conversation in conditioned mind about, okay, then I need to do this and I need to do that, then ego would say, well, then you'll have nothing. You know, you'll be lucky if you make it to the couch, and then you're just going to sit there for the rest of your life. But life is orchestrating everything perfectly all the time. What we're learning to do is get in sync with life.
Yeah, and I had a real picture what that was going to look like. And it's a lot of times what I feel first is anxiety, and then I thought about, I think it's Kierkegaard or one of those really smart people that said, anxiety is the first taste of freedom, of that kind of...
Oh, that is a good one.
Yeah, of things opening up that don't fit who I thought I was or how I had to be.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the word contentment dropped in, which is kind of a no-no in my world. Like, that means, oh, I'm not going to do anything. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, could this be contentment and so little is happening? So,
well, and could content be with whatever is happening?
Yeah.
Again, I think about, go ahead, what?
No, I'm just oohing and aahing.
Oh, well, I think the book was called Zen and the Art of Archery. I'm not sure I ever read the book, but the first part of it where he talked about why he picked this teacher, and I think this is the way it went. Maybe you read this at one point too, but he was in a high rise in Japan when they had an earthquake, and talk about a scary place to be, a scary time. And, of course, everybody is trying to get to the doors and diving under stuff and just hysterical. And this guy, he sees this guy sitting across the room, and he's just smiling. And as the building is swaying farther and farther out to each side, the guy's smile just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's obvious that he's just having a fabulous time. And the guy said, I want what he's got. Right? I want to know what he's doing. And that, and he was the Zen master who is written about in that book. So perhaps contentment is not, for ego, if you're content, you'll never do anything because you have to be anxious and driven and suffering in order to do stuff. And you do if you're doing ego's bidding. But perhaps if we're at one with life, we can be completely contented to do whatever life is calling us to do, be in whatever circumstances.
Yeah, it sort of goes against that whole I'm not enough, life not enough kind of message. And actually, the last time I called you, you relayed a story about going to the monastery, and you had a friend that came in really nice, and she left really different, and you came in all angry, but you left really, really nice. And I've gone into this really, like, extroverted, outgoing, going, doing to kind of quieter, a little more reclusive, you know, and I'm like, wow, who is this person that's emerging?
Yes, yes.
But mm-hmm. I'm just kind of following mm-hmm. the Project Joy, don't know, and that's okay. I want to know. You know, just live with
that's
it.
Right.
So,
just being
so
present.
Yeah.
All we've got is right now.
Right. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. all in. All my.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. At any rate, so thank you. I appreciate all the.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Continuing down the path.
Mm-hmm. It's good to talk with you, Susan.
Good to talk
Take
to
care.
You.
Care.
Bye. Bye, Michael.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Susan. Another great conversation, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we have time for at least one more caller here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Goli.
Hello, Goli.
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Michael. Well,
what's going on?
I am calling to say that I got to a point in my life that I feel if I didn't have practice, I just don't know how my life would be sustainable. So I'm calling with a Deepya show for everything. And I had a very challenging day, but a great practice day on Sunday. And I kind of showed up, but with a lot of support from my recording and listening, and I listened to reassurances. I went and did a race for the cure, but the people I was going with, you know, the dynamic was kind of not very supportive. But I just listened to reassurances all the way there, and I listened to reassurances all the way home, and I kind of stayed with myself. So even though I was physically on my own, I mean, there were people all around, but I stayed with myself and I showed up, and it was just such a different experience to doing
yeah.
that whole day without the mentor and, you know, without choosing myself and without having practice.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been miserable.
Absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
Absolutely miserable. And yeah, I don't know how I would have survived it. And I know my whole life I've had this longing for love and intimacy. And I feel that with I have that longing still, but I feel that with the help of practice, I'm developing that intimacy with myself, but I also feel
uh-huh.
that I have that with, you know, with my sangha, with my teachers, because there is a part of me that there's a devotional part of me that wants to give my devotion. And, you know, I just couldn't wait till Monday morning to just, you know, hear your voice and hear Ashwini's voice. And I know kind of how it starts, you know. Ashwini says, good morning, Sherry. And then you say, good morning, Ashwini. And I just saw such a lot of love for the two of you just to have that, you know. And it's such a nice mm. feeling for me to be able to, of course, give that to myself, but also to be able to give it to, you know, somebody outside of myself. I don't know. I like to have that. And just, you know, and then it extends to the whole of Sangha, because I'm so grateful for all of this support. And I really feel connected to all that is,
uh-huh.
you know.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's so important, isn't it?
Yeah.
The place where usually, of course, we feel it most is when we go on retreat, right? And
yeah.
And there we are together, and you know, people don't actually know each other, and oftentimes, especially when people are new, none of us knows that person, and yet there's just this feeling of being embraced by life, not in terms of personalities, but feeling so much, such connection with the interconnectedness that is life. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, and that now, after so many years of wanting that, it's so blissful and wonderful for me to be able to experience that living my life, you know, the life that I was given, rather than always feeling I have to change my life and I have to go somewhere to get that. But, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and, oh, gosh, that's so important, isn't it, Goalie? Because at any point along the way until we get to the point where you are now, if somebody said, okay, but here, you can have this thing that you always wanted instead, most of us would go, okay, I'll take that thing I always wanted. But it, blessedly, it's withheld from us. Right? We don't get to, we don't get to have these temporary departures from a path of unconditional love and freedom. You know, because when we're operating from ego, it just doesn't work. And I'm sure you've seen tons of friends, colleagues go through that. You know, okay, they have somebody in their life, but it's not loving, it's not intimate, it's not happy or friendly, right? And then we keep going along, and eventually we get to that place of, oh, I actually see what it is. I see how it works. I know where it is. I know how to find it. And happily, it resides in me. Right? And then from that place, we're so open to all of the other things that are around us, all of the, you know, the friends and colleagues and sangha and everything that life provides us with. It's not second best any longer, is it?
No, this is the real deal.
That's right. It's the real deal. Exactly. Yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
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 Oh, I love it. Makes me so happy for you.
Thank you. A deep gesture to you.
Oh, and to you. Take good care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Goalie. And Sherry, it's great that it is, in fact, right here.
Yeah, and I'm grinning so hard. It's just... You know, it's what was said earlier, you know, just get together, get this group of people together, and just go right to center. It just right there, heart open, so grateful, so happy.
Yes, yes. And speaking of that, Sherry, I want to go back to Danny at the very beginning of the show. He has a birthday coming up. And he gave me a great idea because I also have a big birthday coming up in June. And I'm going to invite everybody I know and tell them all about the Africa Project. And it's going to be great.
Go. Yes. Yes. You could sense that from his description, huh?
Yeah.
And from Anna's, right? And other people who have been just shocked at people's response.
Right.
To being invited into something loving and fun.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's a very blessed life and a very blessed practice.
It really is. Gosh, you're so fortunate.
Yes, and it is almost 6 o'clock. So I think it's time to say adieu.
And thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks to everybody, huh? And
yes.
As we often say on Project Joy, go happy, treasure yourself.
Don't forget to treasure yourself. Yes, I love that line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. See you soon, Michael.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.